Thank God. Well, we've been in a series since the new year called Your Race. So let's go ahead and turn over to Hebrews 12:1. That's what we've used as our text, and then we'll move on from there. Review a little bit for those that haven't been with us. All the messages are available online on our website. There's a link in your bulletin that will get you to the archive site. You can't get there just by clicking around the website. There's a media page, but that only has a few messages. If you enter the link in your bulletin, then you can get all of them. And like all these previous messages are available there, and I encourage you to go back and listen to them because they build on one another. Hebrews 12:1, it's on your sheet as well. It says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Laying aside every weight, it says, and the sin which so easily ensnares us, let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, he's the one that we keep our eye on, not men, not circumstance, but Jesus. In the New Living Translation there on your sheet, look at that. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge cloud of witnesses to the life of faith," it's referring to the people that have gone on, that have walked the walk of faith, run their race, lived the life of faith here on earth, and have already gone on. It's referring to the people that are in Hebrews 11. They said, when it's saying a great cloud of witnesses, it's talking about Abraham and all these different great patriarchs and people who have walked before us. It says, these people have walked before and they are witnesses to the life of faith. He says, since we have such a great cloud of them, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. See, it's your time, it's my time here on the earth. Those that have gone to heaven, they can't run their race anymore. And when we go to heaven, whether Jesus comes back before we die or we pass on, because everybody in here, if Jesus doesn't come back, is going to die at some place, sometime. 200 years from now, if Jesus has not come back, not a single person in this room will be alive. Amen. We're all going to die. So our days are numbered. That means each day is important. There is no, well, you know, I'm going to kill time today. You know, people don't mean that. That saying, but we don't have any time to waste. If you're saying I'm relaxing doing nothing, well, that ought to be the purpose of that time. That's good. We need to have relaxing time, but we have a short time here on the earth. So we have a race to run for right now. The people in heaven can't run our race. They can't help you. You don't pray to them. They don't. You pray to God Almighty. We don't pray to men and women that have gone on. You can remember them, but you certainly don't pray for them, and they can't help you. Their race is done. It's our time. He said, "Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily strips us up." See, there are things in this life that we need to remove that just are slowing us down if we'll let them. We talked about that. We need to get rid of those things. They may be sin. They may be like against what the Word says. They may not be. They just may be things that slow us down. They're not sin per se, but for your race, what God wants you to do, they're not helpful. Anything that's not helpful, we ought to strip it away. Is verse 2, "We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne." Jesus came, he ran his race, 100% man, 100% God. How is that possible? You say, well, it's the Bible says it. We take it by faith. But he ran his race as a man. He wasn't running it as God. He was running it as a man anointed by the Spirit. He faced the same temptations you and I face. The Bible says he was tempted in the same way, yet without sin. How did he do it? He did it by looking at the joy that was before him. And that's the way you and I are going to do it. You're looking at him. See, he already went before us. Now you're looking at Jesus to run your race. I'm looking at Jesus to run my race. That means we got to get blinders on and not look to the right or the left. What is he telling us to do? What is he calling us to do? Run that race and run it with everything we have. That means if there's something that's going to keep us from running that optimally, we get rid of it. Now that's a process like we talked about. Thank God it's a process. Huh? You know, you sent 20 years, depending on your background, 20 years gathering some things that maybe aren't helping you in your walk with God. Well, thank God, God doesn't say, you know, by noon tomorrow, they all better be gone or else. Like somebody said, I don't want any more. I don't want any of that else. Yeah. Didn't get that, huh? But anyway, thank God he doesn't say that. Amen. Thank God we don't have something tomorrow that you got to better shape up or you know, it's all over. No, God is merciful and he's gracious and he knows what to give us to work on at any given time. He judges you, and I should say he works with you based on what you know. If you don't know, how are you going to change? Huh? Different people had different upbringings. So don't ever judge people. The Bible says don't judge them. God's the ultimate judge. He knows where they came from. He knows what they're doing. You say, that's so easy. Why don't they just stop doing that? Well, you don't know where they came from. That's not making excuses for them. Or you. But you know, isn't it interesting how we all have a reason for why we do the things we do, but everybody else ought to have shaped up yesterday. You know, have you ever... This applies especially when, you know, we're driving. You know? If you're going fast, you have a reason because you're late. Somebody else going fast, they're a maniac. They just don't know how to drive. Somebody else is going slow. You know, they're just a moron. They're in front of you. Why don't they get together? But you're going slow. Well, you know, you don't know exactly where you're going, so you need to go slow, right? We have a double standard if we're not careful, and we apply it everywhere. Well, why don't you just get, I mean, that's so easy. Why don't you just stop doing that? Well, you don't know where they came from. God does. And so he's going to deal with each person mercifully. That doesn't mean he's a pushover. He's not. But he's not a hard taskmaster either. Okay, he knows we're flesh. He doesn't wink at sin. He certainly does not. He expects us to change things, and it is not God to say, well, it just doesn't matter what you do. God understands. He may understand. The thing is, Satan does not understand. And he'll if you give him place in your life, he will take all he can. And it is, so we need to do everything we know to do to live holy, to live according to God's commandments. But you also have to know God knows where you're at, he knows where you're going, and he looks on your heart. Did you get that? He looks on your heart. Amen. He will bring you along. He'll help you. And he knows how to get you and I to where we need to be. Sometimes we're hard on people. We don't use correct approaches. Sometimes we're too blunt. Well, why don't you just do this? You ever notice that doesn't work really well? Why don't you just quit doing it? I mean, this is enough of this. I've watched you do this. Just stop it. How'd that go? Huh? It'll go too well. Did anybody figure out you can't change your spouse? Yep. You can't. It's an illusion if you think you can. You think you can, but you can't. At the end of the day, they're going to do what they want to do. You can help or you can hinder. And half the time when we get in there and we try to tell them, that's just one more reason why they don't want to do it. Because now they're listening to you, listening to me. Right? Amen. It's true. We need to let God do the changing. God, it doesn't mean somebody else shouldn't be doing stuff, but it doesn't matter what you know they need. It's what they'll receive from you. Somebody said it like that. It doesn't matter what the other person needs. It doesn't matter what you know about the situation. You know this would help them. You know what the only thing that matters is what they'll receive from you or in general. In other words, you can talk all day and be exactly right, and if they don't care who you are and don't want to listen to you, they hear zero. On the other hand, if they trust you and believe you could say one word and it comes right through and it could change their life. What's the gate in the middle? It's all what they're going to receive. Who are you? How do you say it? Huh? So it's easy to be hard on other people. We just, oh God, have mercy on me. You know what I'm dealing with. But this other person, they ought to shape up by now, right? Thank God he's not like some of us. If we were God, boy, it would have been messed up a long time ago. Huh? Sometimes we're not as patient as we ought to be. But God is merciful and gracious. When we talk about these things, just know God is a gracious, he's a merciful God, but there are benefits to following him and doing what he wants us to do. Everybody say there are benefits to following God and doing what he wants us to do. It pays to serve God. It does not cost. When I see people say, oh, I've just given so much for the sake of God. I've done so much. They have a backwards mentality. It is a joy and a privilege to serve the Almighty, and he won't be a debtor to any man. In other words, you think you've just given so much as if he hasn't given? Number one, he gave Jesus. You could just stop right there, and you're in debt, period. You never repay what Jesus did. It's only what can we do for him? What can we do that would bless him? You know there are things that we can do that actually bless the Almighty? You know what a lot of it has to do with? It's forwarding his kingdom on earth because he's going to work through people. Why people who say, why don't God just do whatever he wants to do? Just get this thing wrapped up because he can't. Legally, he can't. Because Satan's called the god of this world. Now, God ultimately owns everything, but he gave dominion to Adam. And Adam bowed his knee to Satan. So there are legalities involved. It's like if you had a lease involved, you had leased something to somebody. It doesn't matter if you own the property. You can't go back in and say, hey, no, I want to do this and this. No, you got to follow the law. Yes, you get in trouble. Doesn't matter you own the whole thing. There are legalities. Satan, because of what Adam did, he has dominion on this earth, not over Christians, but over parts of it. That's why he's got this thing in such a mess. It's not God orchestrating everything. It's men listening to Satan, and they mess things up. How is God going to be able to work on this? He's got to work through men giving him authority. Now, if that sounds foreign to you, we got messages on that. I'm not going to get into all that. But, you know, anywhere in the Bible where you see an if you will do this, if this, then this, shows it isn't all up to God. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any if. It doesn't matter what you do, it's going to happen anyway, right? But there are lots of ifs. There are lots of what if you do something, then this will happen. No, but if we'll cooperate with God, he can work through us to do what he needs to do on this earth. And there's a benefit and a blessing with that. And God needs us to do what, follow his part, his plan, and we have part of it. And it's to bless people. People that are already Christians, people that are going to be Christians, so that the full body of Christ that's going to come in will come in these last days, and then the job will be done, and then we'll be out of here. But right now we have a job to do. Look at 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 on your sheet. It says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. You know, you can run in a way you're not going to win. You're not going to do it. It's not going to happen. He's saying, run in such a way that you will win. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. That means disciplined, moderate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not with as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. Talked about that last week. Lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Look at it in the New Living Translation. Don't you realize that a race, that in a race, so 1 Corinthians 9:24, New Living Translation, don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? Now we said, this race that we're running in, when it says your race, you're the only one in the race. Thank God, you're not competing against your neighbor. Back in Hebrews 12, verse 1, it says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before who? Us. He's not talking about your neighbor. You got a race and you have a lane, and like we are saying, God knows where you came from. He knows what you can do. And it's not about your neighbor. And you're not competing against anybody else. You're competing against basically yourself. If you drop out and they're sidelined and you're not going to serve God, well, you know what? There's nobody running in the race. You're not going to finish your course. But we need to run to finish our course, to finish our race. There's no sense in looking at anybody else. Don't compare your gifts and abilities to somebody else. It doesn't mean anything. You're unique. I'm unique. God has a call for each one of us. We need to do what He's told us to do, because He already has it figured out what we're good at. Amen. So He said, let's read 24 again, New Living Translation. Don't you realize that in a race everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. Athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it. We talked about training, like last week. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. So we run with purpose. Do you realize we all have a purpose? And your purpose isn't your neighbor's purpose. This is where people get confused. They see somebody doing something, and it's like, well, they're doing that. Now, I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking about something against the Word of God. What I'm talking about is something fine to do, but we gotta understand we have a purpose. You, each person in here, each person in the sound of my voice has a purpose, and your purpose isn't somebody else's purpose. And if you try to do what somebody is, they have a certain purpose, so they're running their race in a certain way, and you say, well, that looks pretty good, I'll do it as well. But if it's not your purpose, it's not going to be helpful. Just think about different positions, like in a sports team. They have different purposes, right? Like I played soccer growing up. Well, the goalie has a different purpose than the striker up front, okay? The sweeper, you know, if you're in that configuration in the back, the sweeper, you know, in a configuration like we used a lot of times, four in the back, like a diamond, you got a sweeper in the back, you got one guy that's right in front of the goalie, and then what we called a stopper right in front of the sweeper, and then you got the two wings. These are defense people. Well, the sweeper doesn't have the same position as the goalie. Number one, goalkeeper can use his hands. The sweeper can't. The stopper in front has a different position. He can go up further. If the sweeper's going to act like the stopper, he's going to be out of position and somebody's going to score a goal. And the sweeper, if he's going to say, you know, act like he's hero and try to take the ball from, you know, his back, his penalty box, all the way and try to go by himself and dribble through everybody and score a goal. Well, usually that could happen. Usually it's not going to happen. And usually, see, that's not his purpose. His purpose is to keep people out of his side of the goal. It's not to score goals. It's to help the team score goals. It's not to score a goal, though, and be the guy that's knocking the ball in the net all the time. And if he's always trying to knock the ball in the net, somebody's going to be knocking the ball in his net a lot. And his teammates are going to be mad. This guy, I want to be the striker. Well, that's not your purpose. Some people are saying, I want to do such and such. I want to do this in the body of Christ, and it's not your purpose. It's not that it's bad. It's just not your purpose. You know, and if the guy that's supposed to be scoring goals is always trying to defend the goal and say, well, I'm trying to keep the ball out of the net. Yeah, but we're trying to get to score goals. You're not up where you ought to be. See, we see it real clearly, but in the body of Christ, people just get messed up. They want to do what everybody else is doing, and they, well, you know, I want to be good at this person's doing, and they go start trying to do somebody else's purpose, and they get messed up. And it doesn't work. And then, you know, there's no use feeling bad that you can't do what somebody else did. If that's what their purpose and God-given ability is, let them do that, and you do what you're good at. Huh? Wouldn't be silly if the goalkeeper is always complaining and whining that he can't score goals, but he's, you know, never lets a goal in. Oh, he just can't score goals. Yeah, but nobody ever scores on you. Yeah, but that's nothing. Nothing. You know how hard it is to react like that and to do that? No, it's not nothing. What if the goal's, oh, I can't, you know, I just, I'm not good with my hands. The striker's like, I just wish I could stop goals. You're the best. You know, what if, you know, guy, anybody know soccer that, you know, Messi? I know this gentleman right here, probably your favorite player. Well, I know Messi is one of the best players in the world. What if he was all, you know, the guy's, how tall is he, 5'7"? 5'6"? The guy's, you know, this tall, low center of gravity. If you've ever watched, I mean, if you don't play soccer, even if you don't play soccer or never like soccer, just go Google him and watch him on YouTube. It's incredible what the guy can do. With other professional players, he makes them look like they are in high school. I'm not kidding. It's amazing. Now, what if him, if a 5'6 person is going to complain, I can't be a goalie? Because those goalies, if you ever look at them, they have a long reach. They got to. You got to cover this goal that's 24 feet wide, 8 feet tall, and they got to cover the whole thing. So what if Messi's going, I always wanted to be a goalkeeper. I can't do it. And what? You know, yeah, I can jiggle around these guys, but that's not what I want to do. That's not my heart's desire. I always wanted to be in the goal. And what if he was like, coach, put me in the goal. I'm tired of this. I want to be. And he's making how many millions of dollars, you know, doing what he's doing. But I don't want to do that. I always just wanted to be a goalkeeper. You look at him and go, dude, you're the best in the world at what you're doing. Just stay there. But he doesn't do that. But that's what people do. Maybe not at that scale, but in the body of Christ, they're like, well, I can't do this. Yeah, but you can do this and this. Well, that's nothing. What? It's nothing. Look what you're doing. Stay there. Well, no, I want to do this. You know what people do? They get out of their place. They try to do what somebody else can. They mess everything up because they're not. And there are people go, you know, as much respect as people have for Messi, if he was trying to play goalkeeper, they're like, something's wrong with him today. What is he doing? Why is he trying to do that? Huh? He's not gifted there. He's the best in the world at one position. You know, at playing, a playmaker, scoring goals, drilling. But why does he want to do that? Well, this is what happens in the body of Christ. People don't do what God has asked them to do, and they start doing what they want to do. Is the team helped when you do that? No. Is the body of Christ helped? No. What do you think we ought to do? We ought to do what God wants us to do. Look at, let's go over and turn to 2 Timothy 2. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. 2 Timothy, verse 1, it's on your sheet too. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Everybody there? It says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me, among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The first thing he says is be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. In verse 3, he said, you must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. Thank God. I don't want to get there yet. I don't think we're finished with what we were talking about. Just hold your place there, but look on your sheet. I don't think we're ready for that yet. Verse 25, 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. We do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. So that's where we were, and that's how we started talking about the different positions. I run with purpose. Notice he said that all athletes are disciplined in their training. We talked about training. But also then, verse 26, I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. In other words, I'm not doing it just to do it. We're running for real. He said, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. He's saying, we talked about training and discipline of the body last week, but here, he's saying, I'm disciplined in my training. I run with purpose. There's a reason why I'm doing what I'm doing. I'm not getting into the parts that I shouldn't be doing. I'm not getting in over the areas that aren't for me to do. I'm not training myself to do something that God hasn't asked me to do just because I like it. Let me ask you, going back, if there's a team in anything, you know, whether it's sports, whether it's a team professionally, but here he's talking about sports, but being disciplined in the area that God has called us to, it's important that we're running with purpose and discipline to stay in the area that God wants us to stay in, because it won't help the person to your right. It won't help your person to your left. It won't help the team overall. It won't help your marriage. It won't help your children if you are not running where you need to be running in that place. There is a place that we're all supposed to have. Do we understand that? There aren't five places. I said there aren't five places that you could be right now. I'm just letting that sink in. Because a lot of people think they could go anywhere they want and do whatever they want, and then God will bless it. It's not the way it works. In any organization, there is somebody in any effective organization. I know you hear a lot these days about, well, just everybody kind of do what you want. And authority has really been broken down. People don't like authority. People are in rebellion a lot. They don't want to take orders or instructions from anybody. But if you look at any organization that's effective, if it's a sports team, then there's somebody that's managing that team, that's helping the strategy and assigning people to certain areas. If it's a professional organization, same thing. You're responsible for marketing. You're responsible for engineering. You're responsible for quality. You know, there's assignments, and it's not going to help anybody if you want to start doing somebody else's job when somebody didn't tell you to do somebody else's job, and you're not supposed to be there. God has a place for each of us at any given time, and we need to be there. You know, people don't like this. You know why? People want to do what they want to do. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. Huh? In this day and age, people like, I don't take orders from anybody. I dictate what I'm going to do. That ought not to be the way we're running. And it's not helpful. If God is the one telling us, and if we all agree, we're saying God has a plan for us. Anybody agree that God has a plan for us? God has a path for you. Bible, people quote Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord. Plans not to harm you, to give you, you know, a good life. Give have good things happen to you, not evil." People say, yeah. Well, then what is that plan? Well, it's whatever I determine it's going to be, and then God will help me. That's not true. It's not going to help the body. It's not going to help us. Do you know it's actually really simple? What we're supposed to do is actually not that difficult, and I'd much rather it be this way than what people try to make it. Our job is to find out what He wants us to do and just walk in that. That's it. You know, we had this baby dedication. Those children, it's not up to them. Now listen to me, because this is contrary to the way the world looks at it. It's not up to our children and our young people to figure out the best pathway for them and to make their way. That's not their job. Not for a Christian. I know that's what the world tells you. And that's why a lot of people have everything out of whack. They will take precious things like time with family and instruction and church and time with God, and trade it, trying to chase like I'm not against academics whatsoever. But if they think it's more important that my child have certain level of education so that they can make their way in the world, and that's actually opposite. Thank God for education. You know the education you ought to get? What God would have you to get to complete the purpose He has for you. Do you know not everybody needs to go have a doctorate degree? Well, it's just good for everybody. No, it's not. It's a waste of your time if you're not going to need to use it. You'd be much better off doing something that would help you where you're going. It's not just a foregone conclusion that you just get whatever. No, we ought to go before God and say, God, if we believe what we say. I mean, we just dedicated these children. Do we believe God has a plan for them? Do we believe God has ultimately a call for each individual? It's up to us to respond. To respond to what? It's not up to God. It's not up to us to decide our path and then say, God, I'm going to do this. Now bless it. It's up to us to go, Lord, You're my God. See, just even saying, Lord, what does that mean? You tell me what to do. I do what You tell me to do. Lord, whatever You want me to do, You lead me. The Bible says, Psalms, that You lead me in the best plan for my life. He'll guide us. Lord, You tell me what You'd like me to do, and then I'm going to do everything that I know to do to walk in that plan. And if that plan, I understand that it's going a certain direction, then as You lead me, I'm going to get the education I need. I'm going to run. I can do everything I need to do in that area. I won't quit. I'll be good at it. Why? Because You've already told me what to do. Therefore, if You told me what to do, I can do it because I have Your command. That means I have Your power and authority to get it done, and I will succeed. That's a whole lot different than what the world says when they say, honey, little child, you can do anything you want to do. That's not true. That'll lead them to heartache. The first thing needs to be, you go before God. You follow what He would have you to do, because He'll lead you in the best possible path. It's where we get into trouble is you telling, and even ourselves, I can do what I want to do, and I'm going to go in this path, and then, Lord, you help me to do it. That's why certain things aren't working for certain people. They're trying to make God bless their plan, and they're over there trying to do it, and they're doing somebody else's purpose, and they're on somebody else's race, and they're trying to do it, and it's hard, and they fail, and they say, God, why are you letting this happen? And all the while, if we just back up and say, Lord, am I doing what you'd call me to do? Because you know what? There is peace and rest there. Everybody just take a deep breath. You know it's not our job to figure it all out and to do what, make your way in the world. You know you'll burn out if you try to do that. You know you can have physical ailments because you're working so hard trying to do, well, I'm just trying to feed my family. Don't you think God knows that? What is His plan for you to help you feed your family? Huh? You know there's rest and peace in His path, in His race for you? Isn't it just such a relief and a weight off to say, I don't have to figure all this out? Because the world's just getting more and more competitive. People will trade people for nothing. The world will burn you out so easy, they'll chew you up, spit you out, and go on to the next person. They don't care. Now, when I say they, I'm talking about it's the world mentality. I'm not saying people are even doing it on purpose. They just don't have God's values. They're saying, we're chasing this, and this is the goal, and you do this, and if you have to work 80 hours, that's your problem. And then, oh, well, you can't handle it. Well, I'll hire some gung-ho person in back here, and they'll do it until they burn out, and then I'll hire another. See, that's not God. God will never do that to you. He'll say, I'm going to have you do this. And when He says, I'm going to have you do this, you know what He means? I'll have you do this, and at the same time, you're going to be healthy, you're going to be happy, you're going to enjoy life, you're going to do the thing that is better than anything else you could plan to do. You're gonna help the kingdom of God, and you don't have to figure it out. All we have to do is just be led and say, Lord, what is it? And you know, He'll lead you step by step. You don't have to shut yourself in your room for 3 months and say, Lord, reveal it to me. You might come out of that room with some flaky ideas. People go on fast, and they're just, all they are is hungry, and they say, the Lord told me. Nope, that was your stomach. That was not God. What we need to do, you know, it's easier to steer a moving car than it is a still one. You ever tried to steer a car that's stationary? Unless you're Superman, it's not easy. You can push, it's not going anywhere. But you just even get that thing going just a mile an hour and get somebody steering it, you can push it, right? So you start moving. You just start. Well, you say, what do I do? You just start right where you're at with what you know, with the Word of God. You just start saying, Lord, I'm going to start walking. And you check in here. Because I don't have time to teach on all that, but there are messages on the website on being led by the Spirit of God. God is going to lead all His children by, number one, by the inward witness, by peace. You go by peace, you start walking, and it starts, no, that's not it. No peace, no joy. You back up. And you go to where you're feeling peace and joy. When you think about one way, and it seems scratchy, hard, and you're sick, and you think another way, it just seems peaceful, even though your head doesn't understand, you go with the peace. And as you start to walk, you know what? God will nudge you, and He'll get you on the right track, and it'll get clearer, and it'll be stronger. And as you go, you'll realize, I'm walking where God wants me to walk. And it's okay. And you know what? Because it's God directing me and leading me and helping me here, I don't have to figure it all out. You know what I have to do? Just make sure I'm just staying in tune with Him. And as I do that, I get further, I get stronger, I get strengthened in the plan of God. And, man, I look back and just smile and say, God, you've been so good. God, you've been so good. God, you've been so good. Oh, Lord, you directed me. Didn't even know. But you directed me. I didn't have to figure it out. Didn't have to figure it out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, we were watching, we pulled out the video of our wedding yesterday, and the kids had seen some of it before, but we just got back from Rhema because we got married at Rhema. And so they saw the chapel down there, and they saw different people. And so I think the bigger kids have seen it before, but they didn't understand the people that were involved. Well, now they know who they are. And so when they saw him and they saw the chapel, and we were in there, and I said, this is where we got married. We'll have to show you the video. And so we showed it to him. And just watching it, you know, God's been so good. I was watching that, and, you know, Brianna and Andrew and Christina and Julia were just twinkles in her eyes at that point. Didn't exist. But God was so good that we looked at it and how God has led us from each step. And, you know, it hasn't been that long ago. It was 18 years ago almost. But it just seems like, in some ways it seems like a long time. In some way it seems like not that long. But you look at it, and then you look at you know, children now, and just so thankful. But God has led us. And God's way, you don't have to figure out everything about it. You just have to follow Him. One step at a time. He has a race, He has a course for each of us, and it's not somebody else's. You don't have to know. We just, Shelly and I were looking at us, each other, different times, you know, we'd hit each other. I don't know how many times I've seen that video. I haven't watched it for a long time, but just still makes me emotional when I look at it. Just we look at each other and go, we didn't know we'd be here. Standing on that platform, looking at our wedding vows, saying, you know, listening to what we said to each other. You know, we'll endeavor to follow God. We didn't know we'd be in Boston. You kidding me? We were in Massachusetts, in Oklahoma, getting married. I didn't know a Brianna, didn't know an Andrew, didn't know a Christina, didn't know a Julia. Those are my kids. Didn't know we'd be here, didn't know you guys. But this has been our race and our course. And we were talking about it. And, you know, we got married May 1st, 1999. And we were there for 4 years in Nebraska. I mean, as a married couple, I grew up in Nebraska. And Shelly came to live there. And we were there for 4 years, and then I went to Rhema. And we were there for 3 years, and we're like, we lived in Massachusetts almost 11 years, which is 3 to 4 times as much as we've lived anywhere else as a married couple, which is kind of weird. I mean, you think, when we thought about it, it's like, this is different. But my point is, if you would, 18 years ago, we weren't up on that stage saying, and the next thing we're going to do, is we're going to go back to Lincoln, Nebraska, and we're going to be here for 4 years. And then after that, we're going to go to Rhema. We're going to be there for 3 years. And then we're going to move out to Massachusetts to start a church. Never crossed my mind. Never. At that point in my life, that never, didn't know how many children I'd have. We came in saying, well, I have 3 siblings. Shelly has 1 sibling, so we have family with 4, family of 2. We'll start with 2 and we'll see where we go. It'll be between 2 and 4. Neither one of us were saying 5 or 6. That's what we did. We almost stopped with Brianna and Andrew, but after we got going a little, we were just like, no, we're not done. And when we started going for Christina, we said, we're going for 4. You can't guarantee that 4th one. May get both of them in the 3rd try, you know, twins or whatever. But when we start going for 3, we're getting 4. And here we are. Now, I just say that. I'm just so thankful to God, just walking out each step, and God has been so faithful each step. And I watch different people that are following God. God has a different plan for each person, but He doesn't expect us. In other words, He wasn't expecting us to get an 18-year plan and say, in the year 2017, you're going to be pastoring in Boston, Massachusetts. I did not have to know that. Thank God I didn't have to know that. All we knew is, you're right for me. I can make this choice. And let me tell you another thing. We didn't know. We knew. We had enough counsel to know that you didn't have. most of the time, well, I'd say all the time, there isn't just one person you can marry. There are people that will work for the purpose that God has for you. I can see you guys are processing. I'm going to say that again. There are people that will work for you to accomplish the will of God for your life and for that person to accomplish the will of God for their life. There isn't just one person. I know that upsets people, some people's doctrine. But sometimes there are decisions in life where God says, you choose. This one's okay. If you choose not to do anything with that person, there'll be another one that's okay. You can do what I've called you to do, marrying them. Now this person, you won't be able to. They're going over here, you're going over there. If you get together, it's going to be hard. But I remember, you know, we were looking at the video, and there's this part where you have the two candles representing each one of us, and then which our mothers lit at the beginning of the service. And then there's this point where we take those flames and go and light the middle candle, which represents our lives. Now, the other lights didn't go out. In other words, we kept being individuals, but from that point forward, we were going forward to accomplish what God's purpose was for both of us. All we knew is the next step, you're okay to marry. And I don't know what we're going to do. But we're okay and we're going to follow God's plan. And a lot of things in following God are like that. You don't need to know everything that's going to happen behind the next 3-4 years. What you need to know is this next step okay for you in God's will? And then you take a step through the door. You say, well, what's on the other side? See, in the world, they want the answers to those questions before they take a step. You have to have it all planned out. You're not wise. You don't have it planned out. Well, let me tell you something. Nobody knows what's going to happen in 3 years. I don't care what your plan says. You don't know. Does anybody stand up and say you know exactly where the economy and the world political situation is going to be in 3 years? No one knows. People may write books about it, but how many books have been written decades ago about all these things that were going to happen? They didn't happen. No one knows on earth, but God knows. So in your race, you know what we focus on? You know what you need to focus on? What's the thing that's the next step that I need to know from God and then walk? Do that. Walk by peace. Know it's right for me. Know that I'm not trying to follow somebody else's purpose. Know I'm not trying to do what somebody else is called to do. Do what I'm called to do. Believe it's God's will for me. Walk through the door and just keep going. Amen. He is so good to just lead us and guide us and help us. Amen.